BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. We're going to delve into a news roundup today. And again, while the stacks of paper Sandy has for me here are much greater than what the minutes will allow, so we'll try to tuck as much as we can into the program today. And thank you so much for listening. Just before we get started in some of these stories, we'd like to give a special invitation to those of you that are located in the Midwest part of the United States to join up with one of the VCY rallies that get underway starting tomorrow evening in Fort Scott, Kansas. The rally speaker will be Gary Ka. He has been with us several times here on Crosstalk, but has just a stellar presentation, A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America. These VCY rallies are being held all throughout this next week, tomorrow night in Fort Scott, Kansas, then Sunday night in Salina, Kansas, Monday heading up to the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota, Tuesday Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Thursday night at Trail Ridge Camp just outside of Hillsboro, Wisconsin, Friday in Crystal Falls, Michigan, that's in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and then on Saturday, the following Saturday, coming down to Brookfield, Wisconsin, here at our home base. For these VCY America rallies with Gary Ka. You can check out all the information at vcyrally.org for times, locations, vcyrally.org. Well, friends, a lot of breaking news taking place this week. And from townhall.com, Matt Vespa writes, remember when Joe Biden said he had no idea what his son was up to and he trusted that nothing shady was going on because he trusted him? Well, that got blown up. You see, his son, Hunter, had been the center of controversy for his many antics, and the man had zero experience in the energy industry, yet found a nice gig being on the board of a Ukrainian energy company, Burisma, that was being investigated for corruption. He earned tens of thousands of dollars a month and got this job, and his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, was spearheading efforts in the country and fighting corruption. This arrangement looks as if the company put Biden there to get access to then top Obama officials. This is not the first time that these allegations were brought up. CNN mentioned this troubling arrangement. Former officials at the State Department raised concerns as well. The New York Post unearthed new emails that show Joe Biden was all too aware of his son's dealings. And the Daily Wire adds that a newly released email allegedly shows that then Vice President Joe Biden met with the top executive at Burisma, that's a Ukrainian gas company that his son was working for, less than a year before he pressured the Ukrainian government to fire a prosecutor that was investigating the company. Well, the email comes from a laptop computer that was dropped off at a computer repair store last April in Biden's home state of Delaware. The person who brought the laptop into the store never paid for service, never retrieved the device. Federal law enforcement officials reportedly seized the laptop in December after the store owner alerted them to it, but not before the store owner made a copy of the hard drive. Well, the New York Post was given a copy of that drive on Sunday, of the hard drive, and on Sunday reported that the never-before-revealed meeting is mentioned in a message of appreciation that an advisor to the board of Burisma allegedly sent Hunter Biden on April 17, 2015. He said, "Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. It's really an honor and pleasure," the email reads. An earlier email also reported Burisma's number three executive asking Hunter for advice on how he could use your influence on the company's behalf. The Post noted that the revelation comes after Biden had repeatedly denied speaking with his son, Hunter Biden, about his overseas business dealings. And then Fox News also picks up with this, saying that the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee Chairman Ron Johnson said this past Wednesday that the committee has been in touch with the person who provided the emails in the process of validating this information. Johnson's committee has been investigating Hunter Biden's foreign business dealings since 2019. The 87-page report that the Obama administration officials knew that Hunter Biden's position on the board of Burisma was problematic and that it interfered in the efficient execution of policy with respect to with respect to Ukraine. Very interesting indeed. Also, now Breitbart picking up on this as well, reporting Facebook has reduced the distribution of this New York Post story containing bombshell information indicating that, contrary to his previous denials, Joe Biden allegedly did meet with an advisor to the board of Burisma while he was vice president, arranged by his son. Hunter was then working as a lobbyist for the company. Twitter followed suit soon after, labeling links to the story unsafe. This is big tech information coup, said the New York Post op-ed's editor, Sarab Armari. This is digital civil war. He said, I, an editor at the New York Post, one of the nation's largest papers by circulation, can't post one of our own stories that details corruption by a major party presidential candidate, Joe Biden. Well, the censorship drew instant condemnation from Republicans. Senator Josh Hawley said, so Facebook is going to actively censor a New York Post investigative story on the Democratic candidate for president? I want to know on what grounds you're actively censoring a news report about potentially illegal corruption by the Democrat candidate for president. If you have evidence that's disinformation, disclose it immediately. He said, expect a formal inquiry from my office. And now we have the Biden campaign saying that the vice president may have had an informal meeting with the Burisma executive at the center of this bombshell New York Post report. Interesting indeed. But folks, continued revelations also come out within the past week. This from Western Journal. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said his agency working to release a cache of Hillary Clinton emails, a political bombshell he expects will hit the American people before the upcoming election. Pompeo said, we've got the emails. We're getting them out. We're going to get all this information out so the American people can see it. State Department investigator into Clinton's private server already found 588 security violations. Also, Western Journal reporting, the Washington Times reporting Sunday it had obtained a three-page highly classified memo from September 2016 in which the CIA informed then-FBI Director James Comey that the Hillary Clinton campaign was planning to blame collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian government for the release of embarrassing emails. Also, WND.com, a federal tax judge has refused to shut down an investigation into the operations of the Clinton Foundation. U.S. Tax Court Judge David Gustafson said the concerns from former DEA official John Moynihan and tax expert Larry Doyle provided specific credible documentation supporting their allegations of possible tax-exempt legal violations by the Arkansas-based Clinton charity. The foundation, according to whistleblowers, wrongly operated as a foreign lobbyist by accepting overseas donations and then trying to influence U.S. actions. Let's go to Judicial Watch. New topic here. Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, they're calling for a high Muslim voter turnout to outvote Trump's hate and bigotry. And the story coming to us from Jihad Watch. In March, a coalition of Muslim groups launched a $1 million campaign to get Muslims to vote. As expected, some unsavory players are part of this, including CARE, the Illinois Muslim Civic Coalition, Empower Change, and Muslim Public Affairs Council. The goal of these groups is to first advance their Islamic agenda as they stand by Muslim brothers and sisters no matter what and engage useful idiots, the article says, such as Bernie Sanders, whenever possible. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, along with other prominent Muslim Americans, have called for high voter turnout from their community to push back against bigotry and defeat President Donald Trump in the next month's election. Speaking at a virtual town hall with Muslim officials and advocates hosted by Senator Bernie Sanders late on Tuesday, Tlaib said U.S. Muslims will outwork Trump's hate. No excuses, and this is now a quote from Bernie Sanders, no excuses, you cannot sit this one out. You've got to not only vote yourselves, you've got to get your friends, your family, your coworkers. We've got to have the largest voter turnout in history. We've got to defeat Trump. We've got to defeat him badly. You know, this came to mind as I read the story today as to how those that are pushing Islamic votes out to the voting booth. And I saw another story from the Human Rights Campaign pushing LGBT voters to do everything possible to get registered and get out the vote. I see the emails that are going out from pro-abortion groups pleading with their people to get out the vote. So the question is, Christians, are you going to vote? Are you engaged in what is taking place, or are you like some? I'm just sitting this one out. My vote doesn't make a difference. Hogwash. Folks, your vote does make a difference, and you have the stewardship given by God to you as a citizen of this country to vote in this election, and it is critical that you cast a prayerful vote as you consider the candidates. And I know that there are many races across this country. If there is one race you just don't feel you can vote in good conscience, folks, there's many other things on the ballot, too, that are there at every House seat. In the House of Representatives up for election, 1/3 of the U.S. Senate. Some are voting on governors and state offices, state senates and state assemblies or state houses, referenda question. Some states are looking at legalizing marijuana, and the list goes on and on and on. You have the stewardship of your vote. Do not squander it. Let's move on to another issue here from FoxNews.com. C-SPAN announced Thursday it has suspended political editor Steve Scully indefinitely after he admitted he lied that his Twitter account was hacked after a message to former Trump aide-turned-adversary Anthony Scaramucci emerged. Scully, the Washington Journal host who was slated to moderate the now-canceled town hall debate between President Trump and Joe Biden, went viral last week after a tweet sent from his account indicated he had reached out to the former White House communications director. He denied having done so. Somebody hacked my account. Well, he's now come clean and said, no, it was not hacked. He indeed did do it. The New American reporting that many Americans take it as a foregone conclusion that the debates are rigged in favor of the Democratic candidate. And the writer says, now we know who's doing the rigging. Antonia Hernandez sits on the board of directors of the Commission on Presidential Debates. She's affiliated with the Bergruen Institute, which has ties to the Chinese Communist Party and to the Transition Integrity Project, the group that calls for street fights to secure a Biden win in the 2020 election. TIP also claims to be a bipartisan group, but its overarching aim is to ensure President Trump does not prematurely declare himself the winner on election night. And to that end, the organization is calling for mass street uprisings after the election, using the current Black Lives Matter movement as the building block for recruiting racial justice leaders who can be counted on to foment disturbances after the polls close. TIP notably is funded by, guess who? Yeah, you're right, George Soros. The group has gone so far as to hold war games simulating what would happen should Biden refuse to concede the election. Furthermore, while TIP claims to be bipartisan, it is in fact funded by Obama lawyers tied to Hunter Biden, reports the New American. Now, last night, town hall meetings were held, one separate on ABC with Joseph Biden, the other one on NBC with President Donald Trump. Two of the questioners at the ABC town hall featuring Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden last night, and I'm looking at this from FoxNews.com, two of the questioners for Joe Biden had ties to high-profile Democrats, including one questioner who previously worked as a speechwriter in the Obama administration. The queries came as President Trump, hundreds of miles away, was engaged in his own parallel town hall meeting. So you got George Stephanopoulos, who was communications director for Bill Clinton. And one of the questioners that ABC hosted was Nathan Osborne, a former speechwriter for the Obama White House. Interesting indeed. Washington Beacon also reports attendees who were identified as undecided at the NBC town hall had previously been shown on NBC's sister MSNBC as Biden supporters. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, another heavy question. Is it true that some evolutionists actually claim that there's an evolutionary justification for rape?
Yes, indeed, Chris. As disgusting and far-fetched as it may sound, evolutionists claim that rape has its basis in evolutionary survival of the fittest. In evolution, the two main goals are survival and reproduction. That organism which can reproduce the most, pass its genes on to the greatest extent, is the one that's most fit. Thus, rape has its justification. If man is an evolved animal, this must be right for us too. But Chris, animal behavior should not be the model for human behavior. Humans were created in the image of God and are obliged to abide by His law. His design was one man for one woman for life, and that back to Genesis truth is the only one that will work.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America and having a news roundup day here today on the broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're talking about this split town hall last evening after the debate commission said, it was going to be held virtually. And President Trump said, no way, it's going to be in person. And so that was scrapped last evening. And there were separate town halls that were held. And here is from CBN.com. The second presidential face-off took the form of dueling town halls, aired at the same time last night, forcing Americans to choose which candidate to watch. President Trump's Miami town hall event had Savannah Guthrie from NBC. It was more like a sparring match, especially in COVID, they write. In contrast, ABC anchor George Stephanopoulos went relatively easy on former Vice President Joe Biden, with the key exception on packing the court. When he asked where Biden stood on the issue of expanding the number of justices, Biden initially dodged and said he wanted to focus on the Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. No matter what answer I give you, if I say it, that's the headline tomorrow, he insisted. It won't be about what's going on now, the improper way that they're proceeding. So Stephanopoulos shot back, but don't American voters have a right to know? They do have a right to know, said Biden. When I stand where I stand, and they'll know where I stand before they vote, he promised. And so Stephanopoulos says, so you'll come out with a clean position before Election Day? And he says, yes, depending on how they handle this, referring to the Barrett nomination. One question, though, by the way, that did not come up was about Hunter Biden and the Ukraine issue, a top story that's been going across the country, but censored by these networks, censored by social media as well. That issue was not asked last evening. That's kind of interesting indeed. But I'd like to just hearken back, as we saw here from CNSNews.com, as President in the race for president here, the former Vice President Joe Biden continues to refuse to tell voters ahead of Election Day where he stands on this issue of court packing. And if you don't know what that is meaning that the end game is to add additional justices to the court in order to negate those who are an originalist majority to the court. So those that would hold to an originalist viewpoint, if you can pack the court with those who don't hold to that, you pack the court. So we could have 13, 14, 15, probably an odd number of justices in order to pack the court. He's been asked about this several times and pressed perhaps a little bit more fully last night. And by the way, he has said it is wrong. It is wrong to have this nominee now because people are already voting. Well, what's interesting is last night when he's talking to George, he indicated, well, he'll let voters know before they vote. He'll let voters know. And so they clarified that as being Election Day. So he said he'd let voters know before Election Day. But on their other issues, they say, hey, we shouldn't be doing this because millions of people are already in the vote right now. But he won't give out that answer. But this is very interesting because as it relates to this matter about the expanding the Supreme Court, some 37 years ago, he called past proposals to add justices to the bench a bonehead idea. Let's go back to 1983. Here's what he said as he was on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Listen in.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make. And it put in question, for an entire decade, the independence of the most significant body, including the Congress, in my view, the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Interesting. A bonehead idea. That's what he called it then. And but yet will not condemn the practice today. Also, by Daily Wire, a Gallup and a survey that was held September 14th through the 28th found that 56% of registered voters saying that they were better off than they were 4 years ago, just 32% said they were worse off. Now, that's interesting. Biden was asked about this at a special event, a campaign issue. It was at like a press conference, an interview with WKRC-TV in Cincinnati. Let's listen in to how he responded to this issue.
Yes. Gallup reported last week 56% of Americans said that they were better off today than they were 4 years ago would have been under the Obama-Biden administration. So why should people who feel that they are better off today under the Trump administration vote for you?
Well, if they think that, they probably shouldn't. They think 54% of American people are better off economically today than they were in our administration. Well, their memory is not very good, quite frankly. And in addition to that, we have a president who doesn't share the values of most Americans. He's not very honest with people. He is flouting the conventions relative to public safety in terms of even now not wearing a mask.
Wearing a mask, as we were saying, and he went on from there. But the questioner said 56%. He came back at 54%. But he's saying that if 56% of Americans feel they're better off now than they were 4 years ago, he said they probably shouldn't vote for me. Here's an interesting story that came out just yesterday as well. President Donald Trump shared how he recently corrected a fan who lauded him as the most famous person in the world. Here's what he said.
Somebody said to me the other day, you're the most famous person in the world by far. I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. They said, yes, you are. I said, no. They said, who's more famous? I said, Jesus Christ.
President Donald Trump speaking yesterday. Interesting response there. There was breaking news that came out earlier this afternoon. A terror investigation has been launched after a teacher was killed in a gruesome attack near Paris on Friday, officials said, adding that police later killed the attacker. The history teacher reportedly had opened up a discussion on caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad, was later attacked on the streets of in a suburb northwest of Paris. Police saw a man with a knife in the area shortly after the attack. They did end up fatally shooting him. A police source said that witnesses had heard the attacker shout, Allah Akbar, or Fox News says, translate as God is great, but we have had, Usama Dakdak, who speaks fluent Arabic, says that's not what it means. It means Allah is greater, Allah is bigger, but police are still trying to verify that. A witness said they heard Allah Akbar. Initial reports say the teacher had been beheaded, but subsequent reports have said that the attacker instead slit the teacher's throat. Well, of course, another big news item this week has been the confirmation hearings of Amy Coney Barrett, and I don't have much I'm going to be saying today on that because, Lord willing, this Monday, Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver will be joining us and we'll have a full crosstalk program on this very issue scheduled for Monday. But apparently, as LifeNews.com points out, no criticism is off limits to those who want to stop the Barrett nomination from going to the Supreme Court. According to the Federalist, the Washington Post ran several pieces this month that attacked Barrett's seven school-aged children, including one of the stories that suggested they may have spread COVID-19 at their school. Now, interesting, the children have all tested negative for the virus. No connection between and children at their school who tested positive. But yet we have the blaming of the children or suggestion that their children may have transmitted COVID-19. There have been many, many other things that have come forth through these hearings and so forth. And what we know is that the Judiciary Committee has, in essence, finished their questioning and this next Thursday is when they are scheduled to vote as a committee. And so that information will be more fully discussed on Monday's crosstalk. Let's see. The Washington Examiner reporting the World Health Organization official is urging world leaders to stop using lockdowns as a primary virus control method. We at the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as the primary means of control of this virus, said Dr. David Nabarro. Nabarro went on to point out several of the negative consequences lockdowns have across the world, including devastating tourism industries and increased hunger and poverty, all happening because of the lockdowns. Townhall.com said instead of closing economies, the World Health Organization now calling on world leaders to develop better systems and learn from one another. 3,500 doctors have signed the Great Barrington Declaration, saying as infectious disease epidemiologists and public health scientists, we have grave concerns about the damaging physical and mental health impacts of the prevailing COVID-19 policies and recommend an approach we call focus protection, reads the open letter. Also coming to us from WND.com, a study by the CDC indicates that Americans are adhering to mask mandates, but they don't appear to have slowed or stopped the spread of coronavirus. And further, mask wearing has negative effects. In its survey of symptomatic COVID-19 patients, the CDC found that 70.6% reported always wearing a mask. Hear that? 70.6% of those symptomatic COVID-19 patients reported always wearing a mask. An additional 14.4% say they often wear one, investigative journalist Jordan Schrechtel reported. That means 85% of infected COVID-19 patients reported they regularly wear a mask. The study offers insight into the reality that tens of thousands of Americans are acquiring COVID-19 on a daily basis, despite overwhelmingly adhering to mask wearing. CNSNews.com, Dr. Scott Atlas, medical doctor, special advisor to President Trump, and a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, has released five simple facts about COVID-19, explaining what the science tells us about the virus. What the science tells us. Number one, children and young adults are extremely low risk for serious illness or death from COVID-19. I don't have time to break down each of the points. I'm going to give you just a headline. Number two, lockdowns are extremely hurtful. Number three, children do not frequently spread this virus to adults. Number four, immunity to this virus is not only due to detected antibodies. Multiple studies show T-cell protection. And then number five, the appropriate strategy is to diligently protect the vulnerable and open society to end the lockdowns. Those are five facts, simple facts, scientific, explaining the science from Dr. Scott Atlas, that is special advisor to President Trump, a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. LifeSiteNews.com, beware. Beware clinical trials for one of the leading potential coronavirus vaccines, which uses cell lines from an aborted baby, have been temporarily paused due to a serious medical complication in one of its participants. Johnson & Johnson released a statement on behalf of their pharmaceutical division, Janssen, on Monday, announcing they have temporarily paused further dosing in all our COVID-19 vaccine candidate clinical trials due to the development of an unexplained illness in one individual. The pause affects all trials of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, including Janssen's large-scale Phase 3 clinical trials, which began on September 22nd and anticipates the enrollment of 60,000 volunteers at and 215 research sites. This is a second time. Ladies and gentlemen, the second time they report in this article that trials for the coronavirus vaccine using a cell line developed from tissue from an aborted baby has been halted due to a serious medical concern. Last month, AstraZeneca, which is using the HEK293, that's human embryonic, I think that's kidney cells, announced a voluntary pause of vaccination across all trials due to what the New York Times reported from their sources to be a diagnosis of transverse myelitis, an inflammatory syndrome that affects the spinal cord and often sparked by viral infections. I've got some more stories I'll share with you after the break. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
How can three persons be one God? Does the Bible support slavery? Is homosexuality acceptable to God? Is it okay for Christians to get hypnotized? Is suicide an unforgivable sin? How can I talk to a Muslim about Jesus? Why was Abel's offering accepted by God when Cain's was rejected? Hundreds of questions just like these are addressed in The Big Book of Bible Answers by respected Bible scholar Ron Rhodes. Consisting of over 400 pages, Ron addresses some of the most common questions about the Bible, about God, Jesus, humanity, salvation, angels and demons, prophecy, the afterlife, ethics, and apologetic issues with clear, concise answers. The Big Book of Bible Answers is available from VCY for a donation of just $17 or more. Simply request it with your donation when you call 1-800-729-9829.
This is a News Roundup Day on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network. So much that is taking place. By the way, the Epoch Times reporting more than 34,000 medical doctors and health scientists from around the world have signed this declaration curbing the spread of COVID-19, saying the measures are causing irreparable damage. And that is according to the online petition that started by three epidemiologists from Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. As of October 14th, close to 25,000 of the signatories signed as medical practitioners, around 9,500 as public health scientists, have joined more than 440,000 members of the general public signing the petition. Just saying, coming from both the left and the right and around the world, we've devoted our careers to protecting people. Current lockdowns policies are producing devastating effects on short and long-term public health, reads the petition. Okay, let's move on to another issue here. From Newsmax.com, election officials in Pennsylvania's second most populous county said Wednesday that nearly 29,000 voters were mailed ballots with the wrong contest on them, and that those voters will receive corrected ballots next week. Allegheny, how do you recall these things? How do you ensure that the people who received the wrong 29,000, close to 29,000, how are you going to ensure that some of those wrong ones are not turned back? And then the new one comes and those turn. How are they going to do that, manage that? Allegheny County officials blame the contractor hired to handle the printing, collecting, or rather collating and mailing of ballots, calling it a ballot image mapping error. They were alerted to the mistake when voters started contacting them to complain that their ballot showed contest for other districts. County officials said they also stopped and destroyed ballots in a separate mailing of about 19,500 ballots that were about to go out when the problem was first reported. Those ballots are being reprinted, officials said. Folks, it's a fiasco. The Daily Signal reporting, California's governor mocked me, but I received ballots 8 years after moving. The right to vote is fundamental to our system, but as we near Election Day, it's important to remember that the first right to vote means little if officials can't maintain election integrity. Fraudulent votes undermine our electoral system and take rightful votes away from others. California Governor Newsom, he said, dismissed me on Twitter. This is Jared Stepman. Dismissed me on Twitter saying it was false that I received a ballot from California. He never addressed the primary problem, which is ballots being sent to the wrong place or to people who are not California voters. Jared Stepman tweeted, and here's my ballot right on schedule. I haven't lived in California in a decade and notified the state I no longer live there. I could have voted twice. It seems what happened to me isn't too uncommon. Many Americans around the country have been receiving ballots for other people or people who have died. Here's one that tweeted, my official ballot arrived, along with ballots for four people who no longer live here, three of whom haven't lived here in over 6 years. A Tom Thompson tweeted out, I'm the son of John and Gertrude Thompson. Both passed away over 10 years ago. Got ballots for the upcoming election. J. Michael Waller tweeted out, I just received 5 unsolicited cheat-by-mail voting ballots at my house. 3 are addressed to people who are not even D.C. residents. 2 are in my own name. And yet an Andreas Backus tweeted out, German journalist in D.C. says while he isn't eligible to vote in the U.S., he's received 3 mail-in ballots to the Washington address, 1 for a previous tenant who moved out 5 years ago, 1 for the landlord living in Puerto Rico, 1 for the landlord's deceased husband. And then this coming out this week as well from WND.com, the FBI and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency are warning in a joint alert that hackers have penetrated U.S. government networks and accessed election systems. CISA, which is part of the Department of Homeland Security, said it does not have evidence that the integrity of elections data was compromised. It does not appear that those targets are being selected because of their proximity to elections information, but it warned that election system data could be compromised, and there's evidence that nation-state actors are among the hackers who've been penetrating U.S. systems, Fox News reported. And want to hear about the accident? I put that in quotes this week. That's my opinion. Virginia residents hoping to register to vote on the final day of voter registration for November elections out of luck Tuesday after the state's online registration system went down due to what was described as an accident. Anyone wanting to register online got this message on the state's online portal saying, due to a network outage, the citizen portal is temporarily unavailable. This morning, the Department of Elections was alerted by the Virginia Information Technology Agency that a fiber cut near Route 10 in Chester near the Commonwealth Enterprise Solutions Center was impacting data circuits and virtual private network connectivity for multiple Commonwealth agencies. Virginia Department of Elections spokeswoman Andrea Gaines said in a statement, "This has affected the department's citizen portal along with local registrar's offices across the Commonwealth. Technicians are on site working to repair the cut. Updates will be provided as work progresses." No estimate of when the voter registration site would be back online was available early Tuesday afternoon. Some wondered about those service interruptions. By the way, Daily Wire reporting a House Republican has introduced a resolution that calls for the removal of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who he says lacks the mental fitness for her job. She's 81, according to the article here, a career politician, served in the House for 33 years, third in line for succession for the presidency. Congressman Doug Collins stated it's clear that Nancy Pelosi does not have the mental fitness to serve as Speaker of the House of Representatives. "I'm introducing a resolution to push for her removal," he wrote on Twitter on Sunday. He introduced the resolution on Monday, saying Nancy Pelosi's unwillingness to abide by the Constitution combined with her recent actions call into question her own mental fitness, he wrote on Twitter. "It's crucial that the House of Representatives demand her removal from the line of succession." The resolution says Pelosi has spent the majority of the House of Representatives' time pursuing baseless and fruitless investigations against President Trump and his administration, including the impeachment inquiry. The resolution lays out a litany of past actions by Pelosi, including when she ripped up the State of the Union speech delivered by the president in February before the American people. Also, from thenewamerican.com, a newly released video by Project Veritas reveals a Colorado Democrat operative discussing violent and potentially murderous plans should President Trump be elected to a second term. Chris Jacks, a trainer and mentor at Our Revolution protest and a member of the executive committee of the Colorado Democratic Party, stated, quote, "I'm going to do everything morally acceptable to win. I will lie, I will cheat, I will steal, because that's morally acceptable in this political environment. Absolutely, we are pirates on a pirate ship," he said on a tape. He said, "I want to make this point very loudly and very clearly. I said it nicely before, but it'll be more curtly now. 2020 is a political revolution." Project Veritas used hidden cameras and microphones to record his speaking openly, plans to stop another 4 years of President Trump, even if it means violence. This story has been picked up on numerous sources. This one here from thenewamerican.com. He said, "I think," and looking over also at WND.com, who picked up on it, "I think the right wing has a monopoly right now on strong, violent rhetoric. I think they underestimate how many people on the left are organized, trained, armed, and ready to go should they decide. And I think it will take is our numbers, and a reminder that, yeah, there's a reason you guys feared the communists more than you feared the Nazis. The left has an army," he said. By the way, rocker Tommy Lee threatening to return to Greece if Trump gets reelected. He's in the group Motley Crue and plans to go back to his country of origin if President Trump is reelected, reports Daily Wire. Wow, that clock is going fast. Let me just mention a few more stories here. The Supreme Court, this is coming to us from Western Journal, Tuesday declined to hear a lawsuit case brought by congressional Democrats who alleged that President Trump was illegally profiting from his business interest in violation of anti-corruption provisions in the U.S. Constitution. The Supreme Court says, no, thank you. We're not going to listen to that. Let's see. Newsmax.com. The U.S. Border Patrol Chief Rodney Scott posted a construction update to Twitter Tuesday, which noted that 360 miles already were completed. Another 221 miles were under construction. 157 more were in the process of pre-construction for a total of 738 miles. Combined with the 580 miles of fencing and walls reportedly existed in 2009, the new 738 miles would cover more than 67% of the 1,954 miles between U.S. and Mexico border from San Diego to Brownsville, Texas. Also on that similar topic, Washington Examiner, federal customs officials working at a border crossing between California and the Mexican city of Tijuana seized 3,000 pounds of meth from a commercial truck, making its second largest bust in history on the U.S.-Mexico border. In addition to 3,000 pounds of meth, Officials seized 120 pounds of fentanyl powder, fentanyl pills, and heroin. The drugs seized were concealed in 1,800 packages. Hidden among other boxes were estimated to be worth some $7.2 million. And then just today, this morning, we received a press release from the Department of Homeland Security indicating that they have just arrested more than apprehended 170 at-large aliens through the U.S. where sanctuary policies have prohibited the cooperation of law enforcement agencies to turn them over to them. But they have apprehended them. And they said in New York City area alone, officers arrested more than 50 unlawfully present individuals with criminal history, sexual assault, sex crimes, assault, robbery, larceny. There's family neglect, DUI amongst the charges. Let's open some phone lines here today. Our number, if you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, perhaps you saw the town halls last night, you want to comment, our number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. By the way, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is being floated as being in Biden's cabinet. He could be the Attorney General of the United States if former Vice President Joe Biden claims the presidency. But a federal court stopped him this week from closing a Christian adoption agency. A federal court judge ruled that a New York-based Christian adoption agency cannot be forced to close due to its policy of only placing children with married heterosexual couples. This is the New Hope Family Services. They've placed children in homes with a married mother and father. As a Christian nonprofit that receives no public funding, they do not place children for adoption with same-sex couples or unmarried opposite-sex couples. And the federal judge stopped Andrew Cuomo from closing this Christian adoption agency. Let's go to Fort Myers, Florida. And Vincent, you're on the air.
I'd like to say two quick things. And the first one is that Donald Trump, if Donald Trump wins the election with everything that we can see going against him, even people that hate him can see it, we will be witnessing a miracle from God, like the parting of the Red Sea. And I'm voting for him. And my last thing I want to say is Donald Trump is not a racist. I'm 61 years old. And I'm well aware of what a racist is. And Donald Trump is, to me, and especially what you said today about him saying that Jesus Christ, I just want to say one last thing. Barack Obama was called the Messiah, and he never went against it. And Donald Trump said, no, I'm not the greatest man. Jesus Christ is. Well, I don't need to hear no more. Lord bless you, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Vincent, for your call here today from Fort Myers, Florida. And I'm just seconds from the break, so we're going to pick up our calls right after the break here on Crosstalk. By the way, the Netherlands is about to expand its euthanasia law to allow children ages 1 to 12 to be killed by doctors in euthanasia. Right now, that's prohibited from taking place, and Netherlands looking to expand its euthanasia law at this time. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. America is under attack from insurgents. These insurgents are ultimately about revolution, not elections. These insurgents could use pre- and post-election protests to hide their attacks within. They could use the media's explanation of protest and violence as their cover. They could use the distraction of protests and violence to cover their own violence. They could use protest and violence as an opportunity to stage attacks while police and government are distracted. They could use terrorist attacks to look like Islamic terrorist attacks, or the Islamists could use the terrorist attacks to look like Marxist or anarchist terrorist attacks. They could pose as Trump supporters and carry out violence in order to incite the left to attack the right. They could carry out staged attacks on police and politicians and judges and personalities that are conservative. And they could then attack our critical infrastructure to create riots and looting to overwhelm police departments to carry out more attacks. What people need to understand is these insurgents have been trained in guerrilla warfare and propaganda, and now they're ready.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. By the way, the anti-Semitism continues. As Israel National News pointing out, a San Diego rabbi was attacked outside his synagogue this past Saturday. A teen hit him over the head, yelled a racial slur at him just steps from his San Diego synagogue on Shabbat. And my, let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Mark calling in from Monroe. You're on the air, Mark.
Yeah, first of all, amen to the Nancy Pelosi removal for her unfitness as Speaker of the House. And the conspiracy should theory is really actually a conspiracy. It's Hillary, Comey, Mueller, and foremost is Barack Hussein Obama, because he was always behind this whole so-called conspiracy theory, which in my opinion was not a theory, but actually a conspiracy. Mm. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Mark, for your thoughts. Let's go to Port Charlotte, Florida. Don, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is, I'm a little confused about what the penalty for voter fraud is, and why doesn't anybody talk about that, and why can't it be 10 years in jail? I mean, this is the most important election we've ever had. And we need to make sure that this is a fair election, because we already know who's going to win if it's a fair election. And I just want to see a really stiff penalty for anyone caught voter fraud.
Yeah.
And I think it would deter a lot of people from even attempting it.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the voter guidelines are vary from state to state, Don, so there are different penalties depending upon what state that you are in. Pertaining to vote fraud. So perhaps that's why it's not discussed so much, because it does vary significantly from state to state.
Oh, well, maybe that should be changed. I don't know. But it's just very scary to know. I mean, when you hear about all these people that are being, you know, getting false ballots from all over the place, you know, that... Mm-hmm. They're able to go ahead and use those. I mean, that there should be a huge penalty for that across the board.
Thank you, Don, for your call today. We're going next to West Dallas, Wisconsin. Dave, you're on the air.
Yeah, just a statement here, James, in regards to this Bill Ayers wannabe, and where is it, Colorado, who thinks he's going to raise an army? I heard he was going to be getting all guillotines through a different news outlet. Just a statement. I think he's going to be in for a big surprise, totally and completely to his detriment.
Yeah. Well, there are certainly those who are wanting to cause disruption. I know there are different pockets of individuals. We saw, of course, the leftists who wanted to kidnap the governor of Michigan, etc. Certainly to be alert even to those undercover video from Project Veritas, who those who want to go out on the streets, we need to wise up to what's going on. Thank you, Dave, for your participating. Let's go to Glendale, Arizona. Micah, you're on the air.
Hi there. I had a question regarding, I was hoping to be able to supply some of my secular friends some of this information, and normally I would direct people to Crosstalk, but unfortunately, because they're secular, they just won't understand that. So I was hoping to find a source that you guys get your information from that I can direct them to, so that they can see these things for themselves, because right now they're just kind of blasted by that liberal media.
Well, yeah, indeed, Micah, it's multiple sources, and that's why with each story I shared with you today, I quoted the source that I came from, so I cannot go back and review that in the 3 minutes we have left. But certainly there are a number of sources that we quoted from today, from WND.com to LifeNews.com, LifeSiteNews.com, Newsmax.com. We had a story that came through from Breitbart. Townhall.com had a number of stories, WesternJournal.com. So there's just a wide variety of sources that we quoted just on today's program alone.
Right on. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Sure. And by the way, you can go back and listen to the program here on Crosstalk. It should be archived on our site within just a couple hours, and go back as we go through the stories for you to hear those. Let's go to Kevin next in South Dakota. You're on the air, Kevin.
Hey, I just want to say one word. Hallelujah. When we hear the President of the United States proclaiming Jesus Christ what is this nation coming to?
Yeah.
Pray be to him.
Thank you, Kevin. Michelle in Oregon, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to first of all say how proud I am of this president, that he would proclaim Christ Jesus greater than himself, rather than to live up to some phony baloney statements that he is such an egoist, he thinks himself above God. Secondly, but more importantly, I think that voters must vote. Christian voters must vote, not to depend on the fact that they think Trump will win no matter if they vote or not. This is what happened with Clinton. The shoe was on the other foot. The Democrats didn't vote, and Clinton lost. We don't want to lose this very, very important voter count because Republican Christian voters just think, oh, well, he'll win anyway. Why should I bother? Very important. Every person must vote who has a conscience about this country and wants it to go on as a republic.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle, for your thoughts today. And keep in mind, folks, you cast a vote even when you don't vote. By not voting, you're casting a vote. And somebody had once said that the reason we have evil leaders is because good people don't vote. Let's go to Al in Westby. You're on the air.
Hi, first-time caller. You made a very sharp point there. Even when you don't vote, you make a vote.
Mm-hmm.
This ELCA is just off the edge, I think. They don't talk about sin. They don't want to talk about hell. They talk about what I call SBLM, some Black Lives Matter. Abortion, they don't denounce that. It's nickels and noses, like I've heard on this program before.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to get out and vote. That's what we're commanded to do. And the late Vic Eliason would say that, too.
Thank you, Al.
Action or no action. Thank you. It's a great program.
Thanks for listening, and thank you for the call. We've, frankly, run out of time. We're just a few seconds, and the theme is starting up here on the broadcast. But we want to thank you for tuning in. Folks, these indeed are troublesome times, but don't lose sight. God has not lost control. His plan is going to come to fruition. He knows the end from the beginning, and let's be faithful. Let's be salt. Let's be light that he's called us to. Let's share the gospel. Look what happened to the Apostle Paul. Before we know him as Paul, as Saul, he was out persecuting Christians until he met Jesus, and his life was changed, and so was the world. Let's reach another soul for the Savior here even today. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.